And the object, supposing I'm looking, for example, at a door, the object has itself a kind of power, namely the power of visibility. And that power of visibility is itself realized in being seen. So seeing and being seen are, in some sense, the same activity, even though they're different in, as Aristotle would put it, different in being. That is, the eye power is realized in seeing in the same way that the visibility power of the object is realized in being seen. So we have the visionary power of the eye, the visibility power of the door, for example, and their mutual activation is in vising. The visible, the visionary come together in vising, that is to say, in vision, in seeing and being seen. So Aristotle reads the psychic capacities that animals have as teleologically grounded in the project of perceiving the world, and their powers are connected directly with the projects that they're engaged in taking the world in psychically. This isn't particularly surprising. That is to say, it's merely a feature of the fact that the eye, as it were, is an organ designed to capture the look of things, that the eye is able to capture the look of things. And in that sense, one can understand, thinking back to an earlier remark, why it is that Darwin thought so highly of Aristotle. Now, the way of talking that we've been just giving figures seeing as active and being seen as passive, Aristotle, in fact, talks more characteristically about seeing as a passion and being seen as the action, as though the world were active and we were passive. On this understanding, which is Aristotle's characteristic understanding, seeing is being affected by the activity of a visible thing in its appearing to a subject. Seeing is just the passive ability that animals have to be affected by the activity of visible objects in their activity of appearing. So that to see is to be affected by the sensible form, that is, the visibility of something that then, in being seen by me, becomes a visible object. And that's why Aristotle is able to say, in the general account that he gives at the end of Book 2 of the De Anima, the general account that he gives, that by a sense is meant what has the power of receiving into itself the sensible forms of things without the matter. Now, if we give this as a general account, and it's a very inviting general account, that is, the general account according to which sense perception, and later on we'll see mind or thought as well, is the passive ability. And notice that use, passive ability, because it really means the ability to be affected in a certain way. The passive ability to be affected by the sensible form of things, it really sounds inviting right up to the point when we think perhaps of a story like the following. And this is a version of a story that Aristotle gives at the end of Book 2. Foolishly, overnight, I leave an open onion in the refrigerator next to some cream cheese. And in the morning, the cream cheese smells like the onion. Well, the cream cheese has taken on the sensible form of the onion without its matter. Why not then say that the cream cheese smells the onion? Well, we're perfectly willing to say that the cream cheese smells of the onion, but we don't think that the cream cheese smells the onion. Right? Why not? That is, what is there about smelling that is more than being affected by the sensible form of the odorous? And that's where Aristotle ends Book 2, in which he asks the question, what more is there to smelling than being affected by a smell? And the answer that he gives is a particularly interesting and complex answer. It isn't to say that there's something more. It's rather to say, look, the problem here is to understand the respect in which smelling is not just being affected by something. Smelling is a form of being affected by something consciously.